Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we kick it off with the folks from Talk Radio News, the true insiders, when it comes to anything Washington, and for that matter, other things as well. We've had a lot of fun talking about really anything. Nothing's off limits. The Grand Dame, Ellen Ratner, is with us. She runs the joint. Ellen, finally, it's almost time for the holidays, and we'll see, is it the Grinch who stole the fiscal cliff, or is it all of us that went over together?
Well, you know, I heard from a member of Congress today that they think that it's going, and this is a pretty powerful guy, that he actually thinks it's going to be done by Sunday, by the 23rd, I guess. He really thinks they're going to have some deal that will at least take them into the new year. The problem is that the president said, you know, he wasn't going to sign anything that raised taxes on anybody, you know, $250,000 and under. And now we thought they were going to compromise at $400,000. Now Boehner has raised it to $1 million.
So maybe not.
Right. So in other words, he wants the Bush cut, tax cuts for everybody, $1 million and under. Well, the Democrats are just not going to go for it, particularly because they have what's called this CPI index, which is the cost of living index, and for Social Security. And that would mean over a 15-year period that somebody on Social Security would lose $6,000. Well, that may not seem like a lot of money, but when you're on a fixed income in retirement, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a burial. That's a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Okay, so $1 million, so that would go from 35 to 39.6. Wow. We'll keep our eyes on that, see if Sunday, in fact, December 23rd, is this whole thing wraps up or there's a Band-Aid on it or whatnot. There's no sugarcoating this. Guns is what everybody's talking about, as you know, from the horrible massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. And the president, now the White House, I guess, is saying they're actively going to support the efforts to reinstate a federal ban on assault weapons. What do you know about that?
Well, I've not seen the details. There's two different bills. One is Carolyn Maloney, whose husband was killed by a gunman on a train, and that's why she became a member of Congress. And the other is Dianne Feinstein, whose husband was also, I think, hit by a gun and whatever. And don't forget, she witnessed the Harvey Milk murder, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them are just very, you know, intense on these issues. And so the Dianne Feinstein bill would allow somebody to keep up to 10 rounds of ammunition in a clip, which to me is like a lot, and it would not be retroactive. I have not seen the details of the Maloney bill. We do know that the NRIA today came out with a statement saying that they will do everything they can to make sure this kind of thing does not happen again.
Yeah, and they say they're going to have a big news conference, too, to talk about it at the end of the
Friday.
Week.
On Friday. That's going to happen on Friday. So we'll be very interested to see what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to read that little notice. I got that earlier in the day, too. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks.
Thank you.
We would tell you what the NRA said. I got the statement right away when they sent it out to the media. And here is how the statement that they put out read, and this is the way it came out. The National Rifle Association of America is made up of 4 million moms and dads, sons and daughters. We're shocked and saddened and heartbroken by the horrific and senseless murders in Newtown. Out of respect for the families, as a matter of common decency, we have given time for morning prayer and a full investigation of the facts. The NRA is prepared to offer meaningful contributions to help make sure this never happens again. The NRA is planning to hold a major news conference. We just talked about it there in Washington, D.C. on Friday. Details will be released to the media at the time. I've tried to work anybody I know, any source I know in the NRA. And I know that there has been some discussion over the so-called assault weapons, and I know you don't have to call them assault weapons, but that is their nickname, meaning magazines, lots of chambers, you know what I'm talking about with one of those weapons. So this is territory that they're actually having conversations about in the NRA. So I'll be curious to see what comes out of that Friday news conference, because they're saying major news conference in D.C. So, boy, the tail end of this week with maybe the solution to the fiscal problems, at least temporarily, and more importantly, what the NRA, because of what happened in Newtown, might have to say. Boy, that could be pretty interesting as well. We're going to talk about more of the findings so far in the investigation to the 20-year-old killer and some other things that have happened for the families as they're holding funerals. And school is back in session for some of the students, but not for the students of Sandy Hook. Wisely, they decided that the elementary kids wouldn't resume classes until January. And that makes complete sense to me if you think of the terrible carnage and the crime scene and everything else that's happened at that school. So because so many people were killed and, you know, the outrage and everything else, and just the kids in general, making sure that they're ready to go back to school, that was smart. I thought initially they were going to go back with everybody else, but they didn't do that on Tuesdays. Their school is still a major crime scene. So next year they can resume what they were doing, and that's what they'll do. It looks like the current plan is they'll go to a middle school that's 8 miles away in another neighboring town, probably. That's what they're talking about. They might do that for fear that the kids aren't ready to go back into their old school for now, and as they continue to try to deal with what happened not even a week ago. Also coming up this hour, of course, every Tuesday we chat with Stephen Shohet. A lot of times we go back into the vault and talk about history, the history of some particular brand or movie, for example, The Wrath of Khan. We're going to look at that, one of my favorites probably, and we'll take a look at the 30-year anniversary. The whole thing with Star Trek and rabid fans, the Trekkies. I lived in Las Vegas for a brief period of time, and they had Star Trek conventions every single year I was there. They have them every year there, and they're huge. I guess I never made the correlation as to how much people loved, or at least some, loved and gravitated toward the characters, the Captain Kirks, the Spocks. And you'd be running around the store, and you'd see the town, and you'd be in a store, for example, and you'd see a lot of people dressed like their favorite Star Trek character, and you knew, oh, it's Trekkie weekend in Sin City. Yep. A Spock lookalike helped me one time carry a grocery bag to my car. I'll never forget it. He was pretty much a dead ringer for a younger Spock, maybe a little bit before his time. So it'll be fun to do that. That's at the bottom of the hour. But coming up on the flip side, some odds and ends will fill in the blanks on a couple of things that we've talked about here on America Tonight, including the State Department getting slammed over Benghazi, squarely getting the blame for what happened to Ambassador Stevens and three others. We'll talk about that and some of the findings there coming up minutes from now. A pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, December 18th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $16.99.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $17.41.85, $8.70.93 for a half ounce, or $4.35.46 for a quarter ounce. That's $17.41.85, $8.70.93, and $4.35.46.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
E has to be the why question that we never really quite get to knock down. And Adam Lanza is the 20-year-old who killed 20 children and 6 adults and killed his mother as well, and obviously in that group and himself, as soon as he heard the first responders coming. What made him snap? There are now rumors that his mother was planning to commit him to a psychiatric facility. Are you surprised by that? So he may have targeted the elementary school after he killed his mom because he believed she liked the school more than she loved him. Somebody who was friendly with Adam Lanza is talking about that. He grew up just around the corner from Lanza and said that he was familiar with him, had had many conversations with him, and from what he said he was told, Adam was aware of her petitioning the court for being able to commit him, and he was very upset about it. He thought she just wanted to send him away, get her out of his hair, her hair, and said this made him really, really angry, and it might have been what set him off. Now, that's not the official reason, and we may never even really know that, but it is interesting, and it does add up some of what has happened here. So all the law enforcement types who are investigating this are looking into the anger at his mom and what was the future plan for mental health treatment. Is this the possible motive for the shooting? Because she had, Nancy Lanza had begun filing the paperwork, that's a fact, to get her son committed, and you have to have the paperwork all in order to be able to even have a chance at that. And she would have had to have gained the legal right to commit him, because he's an adult, to a hospital or any kind of psych ward. As many of you know, you can't do that against somebody's will, unless you have that competency hearing, and that hadn't even been held, but he might have been aware of that. So this perhaps was part of the reason why. So now why the school specifically, and that's because she volunteered with kindergarten kids at the school, and a lot of the victims were first graders, but they were first graders that she might have worked with last year. Plus, she was very close with the school principal, apparently, and the psychologist. So then that would kind of add up the why would you target them, why specifically. And the Washington Post, I believe, is also already reporting this, too, that she had definitely considered even moving with her son to Washington State. She thought she had found some kind of a school that could help him. So either way, it's clear that his mother was in trouble, that she was caring for him full-time, and she was done. If she had to involuntarily hospitalize him or do whatever, she was starting to try to take those steps. He must have known about it, it sounds like, and he flipped out over it. And sadly, the target became those kids by way of misplaced anger, perhaps. This isn't, like I said, this isn't official. It's just a theory that's floating with some evidence backing it up. Because, of course, you're tracking emails, you're doing whatever you can. He smashed the computers, but looking in the hard drive, and then talking to people and figuring out if there is the paperwork, that's obvious that that's some of the things that were definitely a possibility. All right, and you know we're going to be talking about this along the way. I want to give you some positive news, if there is such a thing, out of what's happened. Now, the funerals are going on for the kids from Newtown, the kids that were killed. In the meantime, a lot of people are really coming out of the woodwork to try to help. You have the therapy dogs that I mentioned before, the comfort dogs, some people call them that, and it was the 10-plus golden retrievers that are making their way around the schools and in the town and in the neighborhoods, and you know the kids are petting them. There's some comfort to that. That's why they call them therapy dogs. There are also a lot of people who are trying to make contributions, trying to set up a memorial. There's even talk of having some kind of scholarships for some of these kids in various names. Remember, they had their future in front of them, 6, 7 years old. And a lot of people with a celebrity background are starting to come out of the woodwork to try to help the people in Newtown, too. And it's hard to figure out, well, what can you do? How can I help? What is it that I, you know, what is there that I can do to you know, comfort them? And whether it's send food, because that seems to be what we do in these situations. And so there's a lot of people that are just sending food to City Hall, coming there with truckloads of food and walking around trying to talk to some of the people. And there's a giant memorial in the town that's just been overrun with candles and teddy bears and, you know, anything that you can possibly imagine in trying to keep the names alive of the kids who and the adult victims as well, since the world only knows them as these people who suddenly had their lives shattered because of the unthinkable. In trying to humanize this and trying to give, I guess, details behind the kids, behind the people, this is part of what I think this is part of what people feel they can do to help the other people, the families, live on. In other words, through the children, through the principal, through the other people, in some way, keeping their name somewhat alive, if you will. And it's very interesting to watch that happen. And I think heartwarming, as much as people's hearts are broken, this is one thing that you're watching and looking at after what happened at this mass killing. How do you begin to heal? How do you help? And I think people really are helping by strangers, by sending notes and by really overwhelming the people in Newtown who are filled with grief and are feeling that outpouring much like in a way what happened in 9/11, so many people in New York City especially, but elsewhere, who knew people who had been killed and knew that this was a really unbelievable thing to try to tackle your emotions and try to move forward. A lot of people reached out then, and I think we're seeing the same thing for sure here in Newtown, just because of the effect. So many are trying to figure out that way. How can I possibly do anything for this town in Connecticut? You know, what is it that I can do? Some little thing, something to offer condolences. And they've been sent from around the world. That's what's happened. People are trying to figure out a way to do that. And I understand the mail has just been overwhelming with this outpouring because of the condolences and the sympathy and, you know, trying to figure out a way to offer comforting words and send things. In fact, they even have they have these snowflakes, and that what they're going to do is when the kids come back to school, they want to have all these snowflakes put up with messages, and they're asking people to send snowflakes to the school. I'm going to post all this up on America Tonight, so you can see if you want to send a message or any of that kind of stuff. Also, another thing that people are doing, they're sending things on Twitter, they're sending things on Facebook, and they're leaving thoughts for the family of Emily Parker and Noah Posner and Benjamin Wheeler, and all these pages have been set up for all of those kids, so the parents, I guess, can get some, I don't know, some comfort in reading what people have to say. All right, as I said, this is Odds and Ends. Quickly, one thing that happened that's pretty big, obviously, we've been talking about Benghazi, talking about making an awkward turn, but an independent panel charged with investigating that September 11th attack in Libya that killed Chris Stevens, the U.S. ambassador, and three other Americans, concluded that systematically, these aren't my words, systematically, management and leadership failures at the State Department led to grossly inadequate security at the mission in Benghazi. That's what happened there. The report specifically singled out the Bureau of Diplomatic Security and the Bureau of Near East Affairs for criticism, saying there was a lack of cooperation and confusion over protection. My, oh my, why? They begged for protection in the spring and in the summer. They never got it, and then look what happened. All right, we're going to lighten the load. Coming up, Stephen Showhead talking about the Wrath of Khan.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators, freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
I shall leave you as you left me, as you left her, marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet. Buried alive. Buried alive.
The Wrath of Khan, or The Wrath of Khan, either way. 1982 is when that movie came out, if you remember, and very, very popular Paramount Pictures. The film was the second feature based on, the Star Trek and based on the science, I guess, of it, if you want to call it that. And I can still remember in my head Ricardo Montalban and others who were a part of that cast. If you remember, of course, there was James T. Kirk, William Shatner, and the crew of the starship USS Enterprise facing off against Khan. As I said, Montalban played that role so well to a T. He first appeared in 1967, I want to say, for the television episode of that started the character. And people love that. There's something about the bad guys, and he was the ultimate bad guy. Sitting in the wings, I believe, we have Stephen Schohet. He is the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Tell me about your impressions of Khan. Did Ricardo Montalban, I can barely say his name, did he play that to a T?
He did, and I'll tell you, I still had a bad feeling from the first Star Trek movie. I was a big Star Trek fan, still am. Was looking forward to that first movie back in 1979, and it was such a boring clunker, in my opinion, and the opinion of the Paramount executives who liked the money but were kind of embarrassed that movie had gone out there and gotten such a drubbing from the critics. So I didn't really expect much from the second movie, and then I got into it, and it was just so fun. It's so enjoyable, and I think it had a certain lightheartedness, and the great thing they did with that movie was the first one they were trying to make it like the characters hadn't aged at all, and the second one they acknowledged the aging characters, especially the aging character of Captain Kirk, and had him win out by experience rather than you know getting into a fist fight or something like that, but like Kirk would have likely done earlier in previous movies, and that was something that William Shatner admitted that he thought might ruin his leading man image, and he said, "I came into that idea kicking and screaming." It was actually Harv Bennett, the producer of the movie, told William Shatner that he had seen other actors age successfully on film, and Shatner's like, who have you seen age successfully? And Harv Bennett said Spencer Tracy, and Shatner sort of backed off his demands that Kirk still be young after he said that, and smiled and acknowledged that. And then about a year later, Harv Bennett found out that one of Shatner's earliest movies was Judgment at Nuremberg, and he absolutely idolized Spencer Tracy, the star of that movie. So he inadvertently picked the right thing to say to calm Shatner down on the issue of aging in the movie.
Yeah, no kidding. And that, you know, Star Trek, in that Star Trek movie, The Wrath of Khan, a lot of people say, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, this is really what set the Star Trek movie franchise up for massive success and a huge renewed interest in the whole franchise. Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, whose interest was really renewed, among other people, was Leonard Nimoy. I mean, Leonard Nimoy, 3 years earlier, told his agent, if you contact me about Star Trek ever again, you're fired. I mean, because he was mad at Paramount Studios for not paying him for the merchandising. He had a very testy relationship with Gene Roddenberry. And then Paramount had settled the lawsuit that Nimoy had against them. A young executive named Jeffrey Katzenberg had made amends to Nimoy, but he still didn't like the first Star Trek movie. Thought it was he was like a passenger on a ride in that movie, and nothing to play on screen, no character arc. So he didn't want to have anything to do with Star Trek. And then Harv Bennett approached him at a party and said, "Well, how would you like to have a death scene?" And do you remember the movie Psycho? And they were going to abruptly kill Spock, very quickly into the movie and shock the audiences. And then the Star Trek fans found out that Spock was going to die, and Gene Roddenberry was accused of leaking it, and there were death threats, like, if you kill Spock, I'll kill you, coming from crazy fans, and Nimoy was taken aback by that, and then he started actually having fun making the movie, and then he started thinking, wait a minute, do I really want to die, and, you know, this could be a big franchise for me, and really thought that he had made a horrible mistake. He didn't expect to enjoy it, and then he had the renewed interest not only in coming back but directing a couple of them.
Yeah. Do you think is it because Khan was just the ultimate bad guy and was played so well, or why do you think it is? What is it about Khan that just pulls us in?
Yeah, well, I think when Harv Bennett was watching the show, a lot of Star Trek episodes, he didn't find that compelling, but I mean, Khan was a definite villain. I mean, some of the other villains, you had Harry Mudd, played by Roger C. Carmel, as a con man. You had, a couple characters who were like gods, a couple characters who started off maybe as good guys and then turned into something bad. But, but Khan was pretty villainous from the very start, and he also almost, I mean, he used not only strength but wits to outmaneuver Kirk and take control of the Enterprise for a while, and that made him plus the fact that he's played by a great actor, you know, I think that made him unique among Star Trek villains. That it's not only the, you know, the physicality but the wits. Now the thing was when they started making the movie, they had no idea whether Ricardo Montalban wanted to do it or not, and they were getting close to production, and then some, you know, they really, hey, wait a minute, we haven't talked to him yet, and then he read the script, and at first he said no because he didn't think the character of Khan was big enough, and then he said, well, you know what, everybody's thinking about Khan, even in the scenes that he's not in, I'll do it, it's fun. And then he had a problem because he read the lines in the mirror and he didn't see Khan, he saw Mr. Rourke from Fantasy Island, and he asked to watch the show again, and slowly he got into it and realized, you know, that he could play the character. And then when he walked on set for Star Trek II, the crew had put together a little robot that came out right next to him and said, deplane, deplane, you know, making fun of the Fantasy Island situation. And you know, Ricardo really enjoyed that and went from there. One of the real interesting things, too, was that the way Nicholas Meyer directed both William Shatner and Ricardo Montalban. I mean, Ricardo Montalban came in playing it really big and dramatic, and Meyer told him, you've got to tone it down because people can be low key and crazy and you know, keep it under wraps. And Montalban was really grateful for that direction and played it low key from then on. Whereas with Shatner would do every take really big, and then about the eighth or ninth take he'd become bored and sort of throw away the line, and that was the lines the takes that Nicholas Meyer ended up using most of the time. So despite that Khan, you know, that you played at the beginning of the segment, mostly it was William Shatner. It was a pretty low key performance most of the time, and that's what the director wanted.
Yeah, what a cool movie. Hey, we have just 2 minutes left, but it was also, am I right, one of the first movies to use electronic images and computer graphics and to speed production of shots? I was reading about that.
Yeah, right. I mean, they did good stuff with the technology with the Genesis Planet, even though the budget was really low. I mean, they got the most out of everything. I mean, it was just very clever how they filmed it in confined spaces and making things look bigger than they really were. I mean, that was the whole thing that Charles Bluthorn, who had bought Star Trek from Lucille Ball, and then realized after he bought it that he had made a mistake, or at least he thought he had, because it was losing 65,000 an episode because they're always going to different planets, asked Harv Bennett, can you make a good movie for less than $45 million? And Harv Bennett was a TV guy and said, well, where I come from, we can make like four or five movies for that much money.
And it worked out for sure. Stephen Shohead, always a pleasure to chat with you. Best storyteller in Hollywood. We'll talk again. No, we won't talk again next week because we have the holidays. We'll have to rearrange your schedule. If you can come on with us Wednesday or Thursday, then we will talk to you next week. Will any of those days work out for you?
I certainly can. Everybody
there
have a great
go.
Christmas. And HollywoodStories.com if people want to buy Hollywood Stories for Christmas.
Oh, it's perfect. Thanks, Stephen.
You got it.
All right, The Wrath of Khan. It was one of the first movies, and you heard him talk about there, as he was saying, the planet Genesis. He's right, you know, for such a cheap budget, and it became such a mega, mega hit. I remember the first time I saw it, I loved it. And that kind of got me hooked back into the whole Star Trek thing of watching it anyway and being interested in it, because it is something about Khan. He was the ultimate villain, I think, and that's probably why. All right, we got one last turn on this hour here, and we're going to talk more about what happened with the State Department getting slammed over Benghazi and a few other things, too, as well. Stay with us.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Check out StunGunMikes.com. They specialize in home and business security, family safety, and personal protection. At StunGunMikes.com, they have everything from mace pepper sprayers to cell phone stun guns and everything in between. Visit www.StunGunMikes.com for all your security needs. We even ship your products the very next day. That's www.StunGunMikes.com for real spy gear, real security, and awesome gadgets.
Where in the world can you find a working replica of Da Vinci's catapult design, an inflatable sumo wrestler's costume, or a watch that tells time backwards? At DaftGadgets.com, you'll find all sorts of fun, retro, remote control, and even outrageous items that probably can't be found anywhere else. If your idea of the perfect gift is a horse head pillow or a mankini, hurry on over to DaftGadgets.com. That's DaftGadgets.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
We're coming around that final curve of ATN with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you're having a great holiday season. You got all your packages wrapped. Maybe you've already unwrapped a few that people have given you, and you don't have that bah humbug attitude. We certainly don't have that here on ATN. Right, Matt Johnson? No bah humbug. He's left. He's already left. He's warming up his car. He's going to get a soda. It's that kind of show. We give him long leashes, so I know he's down the hallway right now, booking down the hallway. All right, so as I said, we're coming around that final turn and re-racking what's happened here in the first hour. The kids are certainly being very resilient, I think, in coping with the trauma, and that's part of the whole thing with what's happening in Newtown, Connecticut, because everybody's reaching out. How can I comfort them? What can I do? What can I give them? You know, people want to do things, and that's America, and that's it makes you feel good that so many people want to do something and are trying to do something to in whatever way they can, however they can help. And I think with so many people trying to help the town bounce back, certainly they will eventually bounce back. It's just a matter of giving them time, giving the people time to heal, because it's a an awful, 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 horrible thing that that happened there, and that doesn't even begin to describe, I'm sure, the feelings of rage and wanting some kind of justice that there will never be, and other feelings that many of the people in Newtown have. And if you talk to any of the people who were part of Columbine, which I have and have had on the show, they say that's what it is. It's just a terrible shock. It's intense, and you want to do something. You want to react. You want to figure out some way to almost exact revenge, but there is no revenge, or do something to make yourself feel better. But there, too, the two gunmen killed themselves, and this is exactly what's happening in Connecticut, too. I said we would talk a little bit more about the Benghazi situation also, since that was such a big topic here, and we had a lot of people on the show, a lot of different angles of, well, you know, who's responsible, how come, you know, the way the administration handled the attack in Libya, how come we didn't know the who, what, where, when sooner? And it's not shocking that that panel I was talking about earlier said that, you know, there was massive failures, the lack of communication. This seems to always be the thing, cooperation, communication between different departments. And so nothing happens when they seek extra security because they know they have it. They know the heat is on. The ambassador knew that nothing happens in the spring, nothing happens in the summer, and then September 11th, they're killed in a horrible, horrible way, and the blame is placed on the wrong thing for some Prophet Muhammad film that had nothing to do with what happened in Benghazi. So there was lack of cooperation, confusion, everything that you can imagine, part of the chaos, the whirlwind that was going on at the mission in Benghazi, and it was a pretty much a lawless place, if you think about it. I used to say, what's the most hellish place on earth? Here's one of the spots, and this is what's happening to people who ultimately are going over to that little piece of Libya. So, lots of failures and ignoring things that probably should have happened. So, accountability has to be a piece of this, but the Accountability Review Board said that no individual person ignored or violated what their duties, and so there's no disciplinary action now. That's what they're saying. No disciplinary action in this case, which just means, hey, poor performance, you know, that kind of stuff, and that's not grounds. So if you have poor performance, you're not communicating with the people you're supposed to communicate with. It's grossly inadequate. Grossly is the word. Inadequate security. How does that make the people, the families feel of the four people, four Americans who were killed? Inadequate. Nobody gets disciplined for that. There's no grounds for any kind of a disciplinary action. You got to be kidding me. I think that's a sham, honestly. So the Libyan Ambassador Stevens, the information specialist Sean Smith, the former Navy SEALs that we talked about, let's give them their names, Glenn Daugherty and Tyrone Woods, they were contractors. They were working with the CIA. They were killed. And Stevens was the first death of a U.K., you know, murder of a U.S. ambassador since 1988. And we know there was outrage. We know people were outraged over his death. But the fact that nobody is held accountable for it, nobody's held accountable other than to say, oh, gross negligence here. They missed so many things, and this shouldn't have happened, and there wasn't the lack of cooperation. Well, I think they need to go a little bit further than that. Somebody needs to do something more. You know, we know that the UN ambassador, Susan Rice, was on the talk show. She was the face of what the answer was after the attack, and she used talking points that were linking everything to the film. We don't need to relive that, but there was a lot of brouhaha over Susan Rice, and that was the heat. That was the focus. Ultimately, she withdraws, so she's not going to try to take the place of Hillary Clinton. She didn't even want to be considered for Secretary of State after all that happened. And the review board determines that there's no specific tactical warning of a potential attack There was none. There was no immediate specific warning of what would happen there. But there had been what they're calling worrisome incidents. Now imagine I start to tell you a story and I say grossly inadequate, lack of communication, worrisome incidents. I'm saying that somebody wasn't paying attention. Worrisome incidents in the run-up to the attack that should have set off warning bells. Then we got bad people. We have bad people in those positions. They shouldn't be there as the gatekeepers. If this is who the ambassador and the other three that I just mentioned by name had to rely on in a very lawless area. So, and then saying that there simply was not enough time for armed military assets to have made a difference. Well, of course not, because they were too late. They were too late to do anything about it. And that's what's worrisome, that by not having anybody answer for this, not having any answer. Now, you could look at Congress not putting in some dough for the State Department for more security, but listen, if they knew there was a run-up to this, if they were talking, if they were knocking on the door and saying, you know, we're really in trouble here, which is apparently what happened, then certainly something should have happened. Doesn't make me want to be a diplomat in one of those areas if I know I can't rely, nobody has my back. You know, it's like the Marines. Got to have your brother's back. Nobody has your back, but we want you out here because you're really experienced, Ambassador Stevens. We're going to put two really good Navy SEALs with you and another good diplomat. Well, you got to have backup. We can't leave our people out there without backup, for goodness sake. Ridiculous. So unacceptable to me what the final analogy is, that just highly critical of the State Department. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. There should have been some kind of disciplinary action, and so I think this is a swing and a miss. And if I were anyone connected to those families, I would be furious. I'd be furious. I wouldn't be happy with this outcome whatsoever, as I was trying to move on with my life and not be so eaten up by outrage. But I gotta say, I'm sure they feel outraged now. In a different way, just like the parents of Brian Terry, the Border Patrol agent who 2 years ago died at the hands of some bad guys with Fast and Furious weapons, the so-called weapons we were going to trace back to the bad guys. I think the Terry family really, really wanted answers and wanted somebody to answer, and nobody did. I think that's how the families will feel in the case of this inquiry. Highly critical. Yeah, that just doesn't cut it for me. How about you? Any thoughts? Shoot them to me at americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.